This program was first broadcast on Canterbury's community access radio station Plains FM 96.9 and was made with the assistance of New Zealand On Air.
When the nights get cold and the lights go out, the sun is gone behind the clouds, and you feel lost, and I'll reach out to guide you home with my lighthouse. Oh, whoa, oh, whoa, I'll guide you home with my lighthouse.
Welcome to Lighthouse of Hope. I'm your host, Michael Hempseed. I'm so glad you're joining us today. On today's show, we have Sean and Jeff from The Hive New Zealand. They're going to tell us a little bit about the work they do. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Michael.
Thanks.
So first of all, Sean, can you introduce yourself a little bit, please?
Sure. Kia ora, everybody. My name is Fire Sharon. I am from The Hive New Zealand, and I'm the director and community art therapist for The Shadows Project.
Great. And Jeff, can you tell us a little bit about yourself, please?
Kia ora, everyone. My name's Jeff. I'm also working part-time with the Hive New Zealand and in the role of facilitator and support. But I do also work in the corporate world as well as a trainer and someone in learning and development.
Fantastic. Okay, so Sharon, maybe you can tell us, first of all, what's an art therapist and what do they do?
Sure. So an art therapist can be many things, actually. There are different modalities that can be focused on, but essentially an art therapist is somebody who works through creative means with the client.
You answer.
Okay. So an art therapist, Michael, is somebody who works with people who have concerns, mental health issues or challenges, perhaps disorders and diagnosis, and they work with them through a variety of modalities to help them process and work through whatever issues that is that they bring to the therapist. In my position as a community art therapist, I work with children particularly and young people in the community to help them process and work through everyday issues.
Right. And you talked about different ways that you do this. What are some of the different ways that people might use or take part in art therapy?
Some of the different ways we can use painting. Some people like to use painting as a form of expression to work through whatever it is that we're going to work through on the day. Others, we will use a drama focus. Some people use movement as part of like dance therapy. There are dance therapists as well. There are different avenues to go down. When I say art therapy, there are so many opportunities and so many different ways and forms and creative means to use to help people work through their issues. So it's not just one particular thing. Some people, drawing works better. For others, it's movement. For some, it might be using natural organic materials. All kinds of opportunities are there for the individual to find their way that works best for them.
Right. And Jeff, is this something that you've tried, different forms of art therapy?
Well, I have at times, because I find that in, you know, when we look at different people, they learn in different ways. So not everybody, you know, today we have the, you know, standard, I'll sit in a lecture, you know, young people do, but that doesn't really appeal to everybody in how they learn. So having them do something a little different, it could be, you know, art, it could be painting, it could be anything, can actually be a really effective way for them to learn, but also, you know, explore. So I think that's really important when it comes to learning as well.
Fantastic. And so tell us a little bit about The Hive New Zealand, please. What is this?
So The Hive New Zealand is a creative, holistic hub that exists in the community. It actually resides within an engineering company out in the community, which is pretty amazing and cool. And for a lot of our young people, especially our younger children who come along, it kind of looks like you've just walked into the Transformers home, which is really fantastic. And they can get a little stuck sometimes just having a look at what's going on in the engineering factory. But we exist in this facility because it was the only facility that we could find within Otatahi that was big enough and not too big, had disabled car parking enough of it and had double doors so that some of our clients who are in wheelchairs could access easily. And it was the only place that we could find with affordable rent. And so the dream was to set up a place where different artisans can come and take part of what's going on for their own personal healing, for their own development. We run community workshops on Fridays where people come in and gather together for a variety of different workshops from identity, creative self and belonging, finding my place in community. And actually we've got one this Friday, which is full, which is around finding your place in the community.
Those sound like hugely important topics. Do you want to tell us maybe about the identity one? Because this is something that a lot of people aren't really sure of. And this question, who am I, is such a big question for so many people.
Sure. So the identity workshop itself is a 2-hour workshop where we just briefly touch upon who you are. Who am I? Who am I on the inside? And we give our clients an opportunity to explore through creative means, through set activities, discovering something about themselves that they might not have even noticed or known before. And we do that in a group forum where we reflect off each other and we listen to what other people are seeing within us and what other people are noticing about some of the things that we end up with on the paper. And a lot of that particular workshop is also collage work, where we're looking for specific words. The clients will go through magazines and things and pick out things that kind of resonate with them and then put together a piece of work, which isn't about making pretty pictures or anything like that. It's actually about getting down into the core of who you are and bringing that up and putting it in the light and having others see and reflect and embrace who you are as an individual. It's really powerful, actually, for those who participate, and the feedback we've had has been incredible.
And can you tell me maybe what are some of the things that people discovered about their identity that maybe they didn't know before?
I think when I think on specific people who've come along and been involved, I think one of the major people that kind of resonate has stayed with us, one of the experiences that stayed with us the most was actually that of a lady from another culture. And what she realised was that her identity within her own culture was still valuable. She had come to New Zealand and she had kind of gone through this process of feeling that she had to assimilate to everything in the culture here and felt that she kind of lost part of her identity as an immigrant. And through the process of the workshop, she discovered that actually everybody there valued her for her cultural identity and that it was still a huge part of her and that it was worthy and it did not have to get thrown out just because she'd moved to a new nation. And that was incredibly valuable and heartwarming for her to be able to embrace.
It's fantastic that people can learn about their identity through an event like this. So you mentioned that identity was one of them, and you said belonging was another workshop. Can you tell us a little bit about that, please?
Sure. The belonging workshop, so the series of workshops is, again, identity, creative self, and then belonging, finding my place in community. So the belonging workshop, again, we do as a group, we do two activities particularly. And the second activity, without giving too much of the content away, is a really fun time where the group build their own individual person in a creative way. So they get lots of recycled, we use a lot of recycled material from our favourite place, Creative Junk, just give them a plug there. And we outline the person and then they create their self and we join all the individual selves together and that gives them their place in community. Now, one of the partnerships that we have got is with the lovely Jan Hai from Turanga, the new Christchurch City Library, and we are working towards next year, hopefully towards the end of next year, all of the individual pieces that have been made at all of the belonging workshops will be collectively taken into Turanga and displayed so that all of those individual pieces will have their place within the wider community as well.
And so more and more people get to see them.
Yes, and they get to see the different ways in which people view themselves and see themselves as individuals, but within the community here of the wider community of Christchurch.
Right. So that's one of the things that you run. There's a couple of other things that you run. Can you tell us about that, please?
Sure. So we run what's called an open studio every second Friday of the school term as well. And Raywin is our facilitator for the open studio days, where local artists and individuals can bring in pieces of work they are working on. Really more for beginners, for emerging artists, or somebody who's got a project they'd like to do in community or they'd like some help or guidance with. And the Hive has a number of resources, and we share those with the people who come in the community. So we have lots of paint, we have oil paints, we have all kinds of sprays and adhesives and all kinds of bibs and bobs and wonderful little sparkly creative things that you can put on, lots of glitter, and we can help you with your project, or and you get to just be in an environment that's really peaceful, really wonderful, with music going in the background. There's couches there so you can have a rest, you can have a cup of tea, as well as develop your creation in whatever way you want with others.
When we talk about therapy, we often talk about talking therapy, but a lot of people also find art very therapeutic. And why do you think that might be?
My own personal experience of that, of art as therapeutic value, I guess, is the thing that I could speak about the most. And that is that when I came back from Papua New Guinea as a missionary, very broken and very exhausted and needing some help to get back on my feet, I found that art in itself, and sewing, funnily enough, also provided me with a headspace that could just get rid of all the other thoughts and allow me to be completely absorbed in the art making. See, it really wasn't about the end product. It really is about the making of art. It's about the process. And through that process, you get to kind of work through your emotional state and being and find resolve within what you are creating and come to a place, well, for me anyway, came to a place of being able to reflect on what I've made, understand a bit more about the process I've gone through, and find healing through that process as well.
Yeah. And I think for a lot of people, to actually describe what's going on inside if they've got negative emotions, it's really quite difficult.
Yes, definitely. Not everybody wants to sit down and talk. And quite often, some of the things that have happened for people are, for them, what I would call the voiceless things. The things that are unseen, unspoken, and unheard. And actually, I'm doing some work with Hagar International in Cambodia coming up in November, working with people who have been rescued from sex trafficking and things like that, and extensive trauma, where they don't want to talk about what's happened to them. That's just far too hard. But they can relate their experience through other creative ways.
Right. And Jeff, can you tell us about some of the other aspects of this that you're involved in, please?
Sure. I think that what Sharon's been talking about with an outlet, having another outlet to be able to work through things that are going on, is, you know, absolutely just essential to what we're doing. And we do want to touch and talk about something called the Shadows Project that we've been involved with, and we'll do that. But before I do, I just want to say that the outlet side is that, you know, people really find it difficult sometimes to be able to talk about some of these things that are going on in their head, that either they feel guilty or embarrassed or a whole range of different emotions. And, you know, having a different way of expressing that, whether it be through art, whether it be through, you know, something more creative, even as Sharon mentioned, sewing, that's a way of being able to really process and actually work through that issue. It could be even very painful. In a much more effective way. They feel free enough to be able to do that through another medium.
Great. And you mentioned something called the Shadows Project. Can you tell us a little bit about that, please?
Sure. So the Shadows Project is something that we're currently working on. It's with a whole eight children that we're working with at the intermediate level at school. And it's a project which involves looking at this different way, this different outlet, if you like, of being able to talk about issues that are going on. These days, young people, the statistics are quite alarming, especially at the intermediate level. Young people have really so many big issues. A whole range of things that they're taking on board. I think back to when I was that age, and I can't remember having, sort of all the pressure. It's almost like adult pressure, if you like, put on them. And they find it very hard to talk about. So we've been heading in and taking, a 10-week program with a whole range of kids, and actually using shadows as our method or our vehicle. And it's all about bringing what is unseen, unheard, the darkness, into the light. And using shadows is that way, vehicle of doing that, in a more sort of creative way. Different activities we go through with them, being able to, just be able to express it, whether it be through drama. They have journals that they work through, and they can write to them or draw, do a whole range of things. And then at the end, and we're about to have our final sort of presentation, if you like, it's a group presentation representing all of them. And something that they have been working really hard on in drama, music, and a whole range of other outlets, if you like, to be able to, talk about things that have been going on, as I said, some of these real pressures, some of the hard things that they've been facing, whether it be at home or at school or whatever.
And I guess some of these things will be so hard to talk about. I mean, for example, if a 13-year-old child discovers that the identity was they thought they were a child, yet they're having to face these adult decisions, trying to put that into words could be immensely difficult.
Absolutely agree with you. And it is. I mean, the words, they don't even know sometimes what to say. We did find that even as we were going through some of the initial parts of the sessions that we had, there was silence. Because they didn't know how to put it into words. So having the ability to put it into a journal and write it or draw it, and then to be able to put it into something like a drama or add music to it, it's just added that extra element so they actually can put it into some form, and therefore they're really facing it and talking about it. And we've had some amazing results with the children we've been working with. Mm.
Yeah, and Sharon, maybe do you want to tell us about some of the success stories or some of the feedback that you've received about the program?
Yeah, sure, I do. just to add a little bit more to what Jeff's saying is that the creative way in which the kids bring their story to life, their shadow to life, is through movement. We have discovered that some of our team that we're working with at the moment, are incredible movers. And they didn't know that before they started. So through the different opportunities of ways to express, your thoughts and your shadows, they have then discovered that they have these talents they never knew existed before, and it's given them hope. I think some of the specific transformations that we have seen is, and feedback that we've gotten has been from the the project is done with counselling staff as well. So we have a counselling team who support us at the school, and the feedback from them has been really great. That the kids are happy to come out, and one even they make their own appointments now instead of kind of being referred, they are taking the initiative, which is a massive step in itself. The school we are currently working with has given us fabulous feedback about our kaupapa and about the way that we run things and the way that we afi and get around the students and support them through the process. The kids themselves have so far expressed to us that I'm just thinking of one student in particular that shared with us this morning that 10 weeks ago she was very depressed and felt like life was going extremely downhill. But now she has discovered through the course of the program that she's not alone, that she has a voice and that there is hope. And she has people in this world who actually do care about her. Now, you know, for me, that is just a fantastic result, because that is a life that now has hope. That is a person who knows where to go for help and has just got such a different attitude about themselves.
Yeah. And would people make friendships out of this group?
We would hope so, yeah. Because they spend quite a bit of time together. And as we said to them in their rehearsal space this morning, we're a family now, you know. This group is now kind of like a family. And so they're kind of looking out for each other around school, which is really nice.
Right. Unfortunately, we've got about 2 minutes left. Is there any other aspect of the program you'd like to tell us about, or a success story or something like that?
Wow. I think what I really want to leave your listeners with an impression of today is that, you know, the kids that we have met, they're 11, 12 and 13. And they are just carrying so much around. And one of the things that we have discovered is there's a lot of talk. That it's great that there's been an increase in the mental health space. And there are a lot of people doing a lot of fantastic things. And we as a community, we're not in competition. There is plenty of space for everybody. And I just want to reiterate, I think that young people need a way forward. They need a way to be able to say the things that have shame around them, have for them, have perhaps guilt. They need an outlet. They need a forum, and we want the unheard to become very heard. We really want them to get a voice.
One of the interesting things I find on my show is I always think my guests are doing me a favour by being on my show and talking about their experience, but they almost always say, thank you for giving me a voice. Thank you for letting me express this. So that voice is hugely important. Now, how do people get hold of you if they want to know more about this?
Okay, so the Hive New Zealand is on Facebook, our favourite medium, or you could email me at sharon@thehivenz.org.
Yeah, all the contact details are on the Facebook page, though. Absolutely.
Great. Yeah. And if you go to a site with beekeeping on it, you've probably gone to the wrong hive.
Yeah. We don't have a website. We don't have things like that. It was simply, Michael, because we want to invest the funding that we do have, and that we are a business, not a charity, so we want to invest our time and effort into real people.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Sharon and Jeff, for being on the show. Really appreciate your time today.
Thanks so much for having us, Michael.
Awesome, thank you.
When the nights get cold and the lights go out, the sun is gone behind the clouds, and you feel lost, and I'll reach out to guide you home with my lighthouse.